Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Text 18, Canto 5, Chapter 13. Drumeshram Ramsyan Sutadhara Vatsalo.
Drumeshram Ramsyan Sutadhara
Vatsalo. Vyavaya Dino Vivishak Sabhandhane.
Vyavaya Dino Vivishak Sabhandhane.
Kachit Pramada Giri Kandare Patan. Nim gahit va gajabita astitah. Drumeshu ramsyan sutadhara vatsalo.
Drumeshu ramsyan sutadhara vatsalo.
Yavaya dino vivashat sabhandhane.
Yavaya dino vivashat sabhandhane.
Kachit pramadad giri kandare patan. Valimga hitva gajabita astataha. Drumeshu. In the trees. Or in houses standing like trees. In which monkeys jump from one branch to another. Ramsyan. Enjoying. Sutadhara Vatsalaha. Being attached to the children and wife. Yavaya Dinaha. Who is poor-hearted. Because of acting on the platform of sex desire. Vivishaha.
Unable to give up.
Svabhandhane. In the bondage to the reactions of one's own activities. Kvachit. Sometimes. Pramadat. From fear of imminent death. Giri Kandare. In a cave in a mountain. Patan. Falling down. Valim. The branches of a creeper. Rahitva, capturing. Gaja Bitaha, being afraid of the elephant of death. Astitaha,
remains in that position.
So I'm going to read two verses this morning, but we'll start with this one. When the living entity becomes exactly like a monkey jumping from one branch to another, he remains in the tree of household life without any profit but sex. Thus he is kicked by his wife just like the he-ass. Unable to gain release, he remains helplessly in that position. Sometimes he falls victim to an incurable disease, which is like falling into a mountain cave. He becomes afraid of death, which is like the elephant in the back of the cave, and he remains stranded, grasping at the twigs and branches of a creeper. That's reference from yesterday. The creeper. Purport. The precarious condition of a householder's life is described herein. This is specifically the super-attached, blind, sense-gratifying householder. A householder's life is full of misery, and the only attraction is sex with the wife, who kicks him during sexual intercourse, just as the she-ass does her mate. Due to continuous sex life, he falls victim to many incurable diseases. At that time, being afraid of death, which is like an elephant, he remains hanging from the twigs and branches of the tree, just like a monkey. Text 19. Oh, killer of the enemies, Maharaj Rahugana, if the conditioned soul somehow gets out of his dangerous position, he again returns to his home to enjoy sex life. That is the way of attachment. Thus, under the spell of the Lord's material energy, he continues to loiter in the forest of material existence. He does not discover his real interest, even at the point of death. Purport, this is the way of material life. When one is captured by sexual attraction, he becomes implicated in so many ways and cannot understand the real aim of life. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam 7531 says, one of Prabhupada's favorite phrases, Nate vidu svartha katim hi vishnum. Generally, people do not understand the ultimate goal of life. As stated in the Vedas, Om tad vishno paramam padam sada pashyanti surayaha. Those who are spiritually advanced simply look to the lotus feet of Vishnu. The conditioned soul, however, not being interested in reviving his relationship with Vishnu, becomes captivated by material activities and remains in everlasting bondage, being misled by so-called leaders. What Jad Bharata is saying in this chapter is the language that's used is different, but the message is the same as Prahlad Maharaj's message. That's this reference, 7531. In chapter 5 of Canto 7, this is Prahlad speaking to his father, the, you know, archetypical materialistic householder personality, demoniac person, atheistic person. And this verse is in response to one of the two times that Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad, what's the best thing you've learned in school? And the second time, Prahlad says, the nine processes of bhakti. And Hiranyakashipu flips and insults the teachers, saying, did you teach him? How did he learn this? And they said, hey, we didn't teach him. He's a spontaneous bhakta. And so then his father asks him, Prahlad, where'd you learn this? And then Prahlad says this one, Na te vidu svartha katim hi vishnu. You couldn't understand even if I told you, basically. Because to those who are so attached like this, in principle, instruction of others, efforts on one's own behalf, or a combination of the two. Never understand. Because fundamentally there's adversity to Vishnu. And those who have this adversity to Vishnu problem, that's those that have come to this material world, have that problem. It's a problem we all carry. In different degrees, of course, but that's the material condition. It rests upon raga dvesha samutena dvandva mohena bharata, or vita raga baya krodha. Krishna says one has to get on the other side of these three problems: raga, bhaya, and krodha. And raga is the same raga, raga devesha samutena. Raga is affinity for sense enjoyment, and the materialist, because of affinity for sense enjoyment, because of this deep-rooted desire to be an enjoyer of the object of the senses separate from the owner of the object of the senses and the owner of the senses. It's illusory energy. There's no such thing as such happiness. And those who are seeking it, their knowledge is stolen. Mayaya Prahita Jnana, Bhagavad Gita's message. Their knowledge is stolen. Now they know something, but their real knowledge is stolen. Knowledge, real knowledge begins with knowing what you are or who you are. We saw that in one of the evening presentations with Mother Teresa's, those who know what they are. It's Bhagavad Gita message is spoken by Mother Teresa. She's not that these features of duality, when something pleasant comes and something unpleasant comes, one remains undisturbed if you know what you are, because your spirit soul, you're not this or that of the duality feature. But those that are in the duality conception, that's everything. Or it covers who we really are. The principle is simple, but you know, then how do you get out? How do you get out of that bondage? And one requires a rope. When you're in the bottom of a well, you require someone to rescue you because you can't climb out of the well. If somebody comes along and you're help, and you lower a rope, then you can just grab onto the rope. And so somebody may say, wait a minute, before I grab onto the rope, how did I get here? Come on, man, just grab the rope. You don't even have to climb. I'll pull you out. Then you'll understand how you got there. Right now your business is to get out. This human mission, we can say, is liberation. At the higher sense of what is liberation, real liberation, that's a Bhagavatam. It's one of the 10 topics of the Bhagavatam, liberation. But real liberation isn't just stop material existence. Real liberation is muktir hitvanyata rupam svarupena vyavastati. Another one that Prabhupada quoted so often. I'll say it again. Muktir hitvanyata rupam svarupena vyavastati. That comes in Canto 2, Chapter 10, when Sukadeva Goswami is identifying the 10 topics of the Bhagavatam, and one of them is liberation, and then he just lists them, then he explains what liberation is. Muktir, Hitvanyata, Rupam, Svarupam Yavastati. It's not just give up the body, but you become situated in your spiritual body and engage in spiritual activity in your spiritual body. That's the message of the Bhagavatam. But how do you get there? So all the other topics are how you get there. And it requires knowledge, minimally. But not information kind of knowledge. This other kind of knowledge we discussed and will be discussing again further in our evening discussions, but there's a big difference between information and knowledge or wisdom. Vijnana is the mature stage of jnana. When you act in knowledge, you get realization. Something awakens, not just information put on your hard drive. But it's the conscious self becomes experiences who you really are and who Krishna really is. And that's this descending mercy of bhakti, and we have to want it. And, you know, we kind of want it and kind of want the other too. That's the mixed position. And so it's quite unsteady. Anishtita bhakti. even Hiranyakashipu was mad with his attachment, Prahlad didn't give him the instruction. Actually, the very, very first thing, he says, somebody who's so absorbed in the bodily conception of life like you, you should just give this up and go to the forest and worship Vishnu. Boy, his father didn't want to hear that one. So there's no question of giving detailed instruction to such a person as Hiranyakashipu. But he gave detailed instructions to his classmates, two chapters worth. Very similar to what Rahugana is doing with, Jadbhard is doing with Rahugana. And then later in his prayers, Prahlad is a very important person for us. Important person in the Bhagavatam, an important person for Hare Krishna devotees, because Prabhupada writes, he came to this world to teach the way, by example in his words, both, the way of pure devotion. So we're in this mixed, and his teachings and examples show us how to get to the unmixed position. There's this how-to question all the time. You know, the how-to is right there in the Bhagavatam. It's not a secret that's being withheld. You just have to have a password and then you can get this secret understanding of how to. No way. It's an open secret. But it remains a secret. Like the most confidential knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. How many commentators have commented on chapter 9, Bhagavad Gita, and how many understand it? You know, they get this means that. That's what they do. So it remains confidential, although it's an open secret. That kind of confidential. So one requires this descending mercy, and that's what's happening with Judd Barrett and Rahugana. And he's really hammering him. It's not light. It's heavy. He's taking the position of Shiksha Guru. And Guru, one of the meanings of Guru, is heavy. He's heavy. And Rahugana is not running the other way, saying, you're too heavy. Stop it. He's doing it again and again and again. Rahugana takes it. Rahugana receives it, and Rahugana leaves behind the temporary, this raga. Vita raga, bhaya, krodha. It's preliminary. It's not the essence. That which is preliminary is not the essence, just like what we're discussing in the evenings, Gita values. That's not the essence, but it's part of the process to get to the essence. We have to embrace the values. We have to embrace this knowledge and live it. And it takes some time to live it because we're attached to temporary in this mixed position. So we have to regularly hear and regularly apply and be eager for descending mercy. And the bestowers of descending mercy are really eager to bestow it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to deliver the whole universe. Some of his disciples similarly wanted to deliver the whole universe. Who knows the name of the devotee, follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that wanted the whole universe to be delivered? Vasudev Datta. And if you think they're too sinful, then transfer all those sinful reactions to me and I'll stay and suffer, but let them be liberated. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would say again and again, I say it again and again, I am the property of Vasudev Datta. He can do with me whatever he likes. I'm his property. Please understand, I'm not just saying this. I am Vasudev Datta's property. He can do with me whatever he likes. He has purchased me. I am his property. And say it again and again. We don't have that capacity. For us to say something like that would be silly. Total imitation, not... But the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu need to understand the mood and the message and be willing to accept inconvenience, modest amount of inconvenience at least, but, you know, repeat it over and over and over and over and over in this chapter and in Prahlad's teachings. This, you know, control of the mind and senses is imperative. And over and over and over, this particular principle of attraction for sex indulgence is mandatory. Otherwise, how can you progress? And even as this particular verse is saying, even if one gets out of the clutches of the worst of situations, one wants to go back and embrace it once again. Now, that's not to say our Hare Krishna devotees are like that, but it's the material propensity is like that, and we should be very, very cautious. Very, very cautious. Remember one lecture? The Brooklyn Temple and Henry Street and hot summer of July in New York, and we didn't have an air conditioner, didn't even have fans. It was just like open the windows and it was really hot. I remember that part. And Prabhupada was speaking about sex life. And he was saying it's like the she-ass saying to the he-ass, and he made a motion with his hand, come on and enjoy me. Come on and enjoy me so I can kick you in the face. Now, those of us that live in America have not seen the program, but the program is, that's what happens. The she ass and he ass comes and her hind legs are, you know, he kicks the ass, the donkey, in the face. But, you know, he's so attracted to sex indulgence, he takes the kicks in his face. And it's just part of the program. You know, it's clutch it, it's sometimes, it's not always, but it's part of the program. And Prabhupada is using this metaphor, comparison, to say people are so addicted that they just plodding along. Or if there's interruption, again another message, if there's interruption in that area, then he and she separate because, you know, you're not satisfying my senses adequately, so I'm going to go elsewhere and find sense enjoyment elsewhere. Both from the man and the women's side. So rather than dwell on that topic, that's the default position that comes from na te vidu svartikatemi Vishnu. They don't know, or this other reference that's in the purport from the Vedas, om tad Vishnu paramam padam sada pashyanti Surayaha, those who are Surayaha, those who are different than the Asuras, those who are Suras, this is what they do. pashyanti, they regard Vishnu Padam, the lotus feet of Vishnu. Om Tad Vishnu. That's what they do. And those that turn away from that, they don't, because they don't know, or they're envious or rebellious or dvesha, then they have raga for the other business. Perpetually. So there's sometimes this question, misconception actually, all living entities eventually are going to become liberated, isn't it? No. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that perpetually cast them into demoniac species. As long as the living entity wants to be rebellious, Krishna doesn't interfere with that rebelliousness. There has to be a conscious choice, a free will choice. And we are often making mixed choices because we're mixed. So descending mercy comes, and then we have to hold on to the rope, take the instructions and follow the instructions, because of the connection with the persons giving the instructions, ultimately, as we heard yesterday, from Balaram and the representatives of Balaram in disciplic succession. We just receive that descending mercy through disciplic succession. And we have to act on it, not just like standing in the shower and you get clean. You have to do stuff while you're standing in the shower to get clean. There's the standing in the shower and there's stuff you have to do. You apply the teachings, you bring the teachings within, and that's going to happen. Well, here as the chapter concludes, Rahugana gets it and he moves with the instructions of Jad Bharat. He becomes clean. Tendency is very strong. Even if one becomes elevated, even when one becomes situated in bhakti, this is like, read carefully Bhagavad Gita 10:11. Residual tendency is very strong. Even when you become free from behaviors that are impure, yesham tvantakatam papam jananam punyakarmanam. So, there has to be both free from sinful activity and being engaged in pious activity. But what about residual tendency? Meaning, we've been involved in this material atmosphere for who can say how long? Residual tendency is residual tendency. And if there's a little slackening in submission to Krishna and to disciplic succession, what happens to that residual tendency? It'll resume. That's what residual tendency does. That's what this verse is saying. And even after going up, one will go back, because submission slackens. So we don't want to do that. So how do you prevent it? And that 10:11 Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, from within the heart, I take that away. I take the residual tendency away. Aham agyanajam tamaha. That's the meaning. Agyana ja. Ja means birth. And agyana means ignorance. Aham agyanajam tamaha. The darkness born of ignorance, Krishna takes it away. The residual tendency with the torchlight of knowledge. He does that from within the heart. So even if we're like residual tendency going this way, Krishna seeing, you know, the earlier part, so here is someone that really wants to be with me. I'll take care of him. Jnana dipena basvata. We're protected from our own residual tendencies because of the Krishna connection and not otherwise. Bhakti, say it, same thing, another way. The only way to overcome that is through bhakti. And you can list other options. What about this, that, and the other thing? And the Bhagavatam is filled with verses. It says, no. They can take you up, but you won't stay up. You'll come back down because of that residual tendency thing. How long we've been in the material world, who can say? Residual tendency is there. How do we get here to begin with? Raga, Dvesha, Samutina. And that's going to continue. How do you get on the other side of it? Krishna takes care of it. We can't do it on our own. So Krishna's mercy comes through such representatives as Jad Bharat and Prahlad Maharaj and those who are representing this descending knowledge. We need the mercy. And we need to be ready to take the mercy and live accordingly. And then that's the right combination. Effort and mercy. Right combination. Any discussion? From yesterday, sure.
Last night.
Sure.
So we know that, like, whenever Krishna comes to the material world, like Balaram also comes, like.
What comes also?
Balaram also comes. To the life of this, like, we have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Mahaprabhu, Krishna, Balaram.
Yeah.
So when Krishna comes, it's like Narsingadev, Araha, Akurva, does Balaram also come?
That's a nice question. What about Arjuna? Because he's always with Krishna's appearances also.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like Narayan. Well, in one sense, Prahlad is carrying Balaram through the mercy of Narada. So Balaram or Balaram's representative being manifest through his representative, Balaram is there through his teachings, through the teachers, because they're the external manifestation of. How's that?
So what about like Varaha or...
I don't know Varaha pastime so much to okay. Say who is that person. He... Matsya gave teachings to Satyavrata. So I'd have to think about it. Nothing's coming to mind with...
Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. Yeah.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. So I just want to understand, like, living beings have a free will.
What?
I want to understand, my understanding is right or wrong. So.
Okay, speak slowly.
Living beings have a free will.
What?
Living beings, like.
Living beings?
Have free will.
Have free will, right.
And devotee of Krishna want to liberate all the living beings.
Right.
But the living being is rebellious. Like.
Yeah. So he can't, the devotee can't do that unless the living entities say yes instead of no.
Okay. Even devotee of Krishna?
Even devotee of Krishna. They have to say yes.
Okay. Thank you, Maharaj.
Guru Maharaj, is there a reference from the Bhagavatam where someone who has practiced bhakti yoga and then in between residual tendencies were carried away and then he resumes it back again?
Sure. Jad Bharat. Anyone else? Yes.
Guru Maharaj, first question is a little clarification. So this verse talks about totally the material people, because
yes.
I was thinking about the people who follow the Varna Ashram system.
Yeah, that's different.
It is different, right? Okay, thank you. The second one is, you know, we talk about the tendency for not only this purport talks about, but all kind of material desire,
yes.
whatever.
Yeah.
So for those type of tendency, I know the only solution is bhakti, practicing bhakti.
Yes.
So also, you know, that helps us to rise above the modes of the tendency. Will
yes,
go away. The rise above the modes of ten, three
it's
modes.
It's right in the Bhagavatam, chapter 2, canto 1. Yes, correct.
Okay. So through bhakti, then we can rise above the modes, which how the tendency gets elevated.
Well, yeah, it's the same question, it is the same answer.
Okay. Thank you, Maharaj.
Maharaj, you were saying that one of the meanings of guru is being heavy.
Yes.
And in that relationship between guru and a student, does it involve different emotions like raga, krodha, bhaya?
Yeah. So what happens to those emotions, you're asking?
Does the relationship between a teacher and a student involve those emotions?
Dissolve those emotions? Well, bhakti dissolves those emotions. And the guru is the instrument to help.
I mean, does it involve those kind of, all those emotions?
Does it involve? I thought you said dissolve.
Oh, involve.
Does it involve those kinds of emotions? Well, I'm not sure what you're asking, because conditioned souls are carrying those, and guru's instruction to help relieve them of those. But, you know, that's the intention, and the strength, the potency is there to do so, and then it can be more or less effective depending upon all the variables, like, you know, the eagerness to overcome them. Some persons are attached to anger, and they're like, you know, stuck with anger or something, or frustration. And so the impersonal tendency, that's the consequence, etc. So tendencies can be very strong, and then it takes some time. Is that right? Okay.
Much like you mentioned, Krishna, who has to take the residual tendencies from the heart when willingness is ready.
The Krishna doesn't have to do anything. That was what you said. Krishna has to. Krishna doesn't have to do anything. Did I understand you correctly?
But who helps to remove this?
No, Krishna has the power, but he doesn't have to
Do it. Until Krishna does it, one needs to guard externally that shouldn't trigger those.
Krishna, that's guarding. It's both. Watch out for the holes in the road, and pray to Krishna, I want to stay on course. Both.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. Last question, we're going to end.
Krishna Guru Maharaj, you were talking about Gyan and Vigyan.
Yeah.
So in the case of Jarabharat, he did have the Vigyan, but due to residual tendency, he fell down.
Bharat Maharaj.
Bharat Maharaj. He fell down. Is that what happened?
Yes, that's what happened.
That's what happened.
There is specific, Jiva Goswami explains, but keep going.
Yeah, and I was going to say, so in one sense, Vigyan, or realized knowledge, not just information, could be covered also.
Yeah.
But it stays, it could be reawakened in one sense.
Krishna helped him.
Krishna helped. Okay.
He grabbed him by the hand and pulled him out. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Prabhupada ki jai.